And this is just to explain 80s mannerisms and 80s, whatever the 80s produced.
Yeah.
The whole energy, if I had to like use one word to describe the 80s, is spastic excitement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Not calculated. People didn't calculate.
Uncalculated.
What they were doing.
Right. It was the most exciting, and to this day remains the most exciting, hopeful decade in the history of human, of recorded human history.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not even the 50s were that hopeful.
No, no, no. Because technology had reached a point where it's comparable. We haven't visibly progressed, folks,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
You understand? Like, we don't have any kind of, except for the internet.
Yeah. But okay. Even then, that stuff was technically around by the Army.
It was around. The ARPANET was around in the late 60s.
Yeah. So yeah, if you look at like musical, all the electronic musical instruments, it's just more advanced versions of the same thing that came out in the beginning of the 80s. You know, like the thing with Quincy Jones. What do they call that thing? With, what's his name?
Yeah, but you know what's funny? There's something about, like, you were recording a mix, right?
Yeah.
Everything that you were doing was on a screen.
Yep.
But in the 80s, you had all those things,
mm-hmm.
but they were like physical hardware.
Yep. You still have them, but yeah, more people use them.
Right.
That time.
So I would put forth that mm-hmm. the physical hardware, which each one of those things on your one computer screen represent, like the actual real object itself, is far superior.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, I agree. Dude, turntables?
Okay. So I don't know what the explanation for that is according to like physics. Yeah. Perhaps reverberation. Perhaps I don't know, you know, like you have a physical object and it's making a real.
No, it's almost like the same principle. I remember like when I traded stocks, they used to tell us the closer you are, you know, the closer your building is to the exchange, the better your, the faster your, you know, trading execution is. Same thing with the more directly plugged in your, whatever hardware you're using is to, let's say, the speaker or the receiver, the better the sound is going to be. You know what I mean? As opposed to like some digital thing in my computer cranking something out from like an MP3. You know, it's a totally different.
So it feels like there was a
almost a downgrade. If anything.
It doesn't feel like technology got any better or more convenient.
Well, convenient part, I'll tell you the one convenient part. It used to be, for example, that you had to carry crates of records, and now you have this thing called Serato, where you have a piece of vinyl, but then whatever you have digitally in your computer is transposed on via some kind of tech onto vinyl. So you kind of get that same vinyl feel, but the origination is from an MP3. So you don't have to carry around, you know, you just carry on discount key for your entire collection of basically vinyl.
Let me rephrase like what I meant.
Yeah.
So no one can actually argue that there haven't been like advancements.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I noticed that the only people who can really appreciate the advancements are like techie type of people, meaning like they're subtle advancements.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand? Like you can't. What I'm saying is it doesn't look like the actual world itself, like, you know, the when you look at a cityscape, right? Mm-hmm. Or the way like, you know, a major metropolitan area operates with highways and expressways and bus routes. And it's still the same setup. Do you understand? Like the world itself hasn't made any noticeable leaps
that's true.
Since that time.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like it's stalled and it's gotten worse.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Because Well, I would argue it was because politics came in and slowed down all progress on purpose. When I say politics, I mean the Sitra Achra.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
The example I always give is it should be already an old idea, but it would be mad futuristic if they implemented it now. Okay, it's called SkyTran.
Yeah.
Okay, you can outfit an entire city for like a couple of billion dollars, like a third of the cost of any new highway.
Yeah. Okay. Instead of not letting people go in cross streets like Bloomberg and charge them or whatever, and charge them money to go into certain parts of Manhattan on their car.
Yeah, you have a pod. You have a pod, which it's like people know it's kind of like a maglev train.
Yeah.
But it kind of hangs from the track.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's the same idea, and it's a single pod.
Yeah.
Okay. And you don't have to rip up any infrastructure in the city in order to build it, because like you could just replace a couple of light poles.
Yeah.
You won't even have to. You could literally create poles for the track. You could attach a light to the pole. It still serves the same purpose.
Well, isn't the concern that this thing, I'm looking at these things now, isn't the concern that these things will detach by accident or some kind of sabotage and just fall? You know, nobody wants to be in one of those things when that thing just comes crashing down. You know what I mean?
I don't think that's an issue. I'm not qualified to explain why. I mean, based on all the stuff that I've seen, it seems very, very unlikely that such a thing would happen.
Yeah.
Even less likely than I'm not going to say a conventional car accident, but something that unfortunately happens all too often.
Yeah, true.
Okay. And there's also a way to even make these things, and I throw open my mouth a little bit when I say this, carbon neutral.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Maybe a little later, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that is something that should have been installed 25 years ago.
Yeah.
But many things interfered with it. Okay. So what's the point of installing this system, SkyTran? It creates a situation where you create dimensions in travel. Meaning everybody's traveling essentially on a two-dimensional plane.
We're like those beings in what's his name?
Flatland.
Yeah, the Flatlanders, the Carl Sagan, you know?
Yeah.
On the piece of paper.
He spoke about it. That's right.
Yeah.
So I wish I could remember who wrote Flatland, but that's so the point is that you could have had a relatively cheap system which would have freed up traffic. It works so well because they've had test areas. They've done it. They really proved the concept.
Yeah.
That people would have completely preferred. Like, it would even be possible to own your own pod. You understand? Like, you can connect to this traveling grid within the city.
Yeah.
Okay. That would actually free up the street level. In most parts of the city where it could be, pedestrian friendly, it could create all sorts of new like experiences and stuff like that. Anybody, for instance, like in Miami, you have Lincoln Road.
Yeah.
That's like an entire street where there's no cars allowed. And just
people 17th Street. Yeah.
Right. So you can have like entire sections of the city that, whatever, there's a lot of benefits to it. Okay. So, that is something that should be old news by now, but we've been stalled. We've been stalled by the Sitra Achra.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're not going to get into why. I think we've spoken about that a bunch of times, but that's just one example. So the 80s was the peak of excitement because that's when all this stuff really arrived. Like, you could have technically had SkyTran in the 80s too. Like, that would have been like really pushing it. You know what I mean? Like, with no, if we didn't have any obstacles whatsoever, there's no like politicians, there's nobody who wants to protect.
We could have had Blade Runner.
Well, I don't know if you want Blade Runner, bro.
Well, you know what I'm saying,
like that kind of technology. Like, we could have been, we could have been exploring distant star systems. You're saying,
yeah, I've seen things.
Yeah,
attack ships on fire.
CB. Back to the
80s.
No, so the thing is like this. The 80s was kind of like technology had reached a certain, can I say fever pitch? You know what? Let me look that up.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's the right expression. Fever pitch. I know that was a dumb movie with what's his face.
Yeah.
It means, oh my God. Fever pitch. Definition. Fever pitch. A statement of extreme excitement. A state of extreme excitement. Yeah. I guess that's not too far off from what I meant, you know?
Yeah.
Technology was accelerating.
Yeah.
And new things were showing up that had literally never been seen before. Like technology, like big machines and stuff that no one had ever even could have imagined, right? That basically peaked in the 80s, okay? And once, and people had this like expectation of what this was all going to lead to, right? Like it was going to continue, right? So, but it didn't. It stopped. Okay, it went the other way, seemingly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, as like, you know, just a, like a regular civilian can recognize. You know what I mean? Like, did the buildings get bigger,
no,
more fancier?
No, you know how everybody's saying, you know, we were supposed to have flying cars by now.
Flying cars.
You know that thing, Conan O'Brien? In the year 2000.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. What happened to that? We don't have anything. All we have is like, we have this Facebook crap. And we have social media that we're fighting on, slap fighting each other on, getting upset.
I think most people understood that we were stalled.
Yeah, and everybody has a small computer walking around and looking at it all the freaking time.
Yeah,
this is as advanced as it gets, and we can do banking. Ooh, to do banking and send money. Ooh,
right. When I say most people realize it got stalled, I mean me, and I mean it was the year 2015 when I realized there's no fucking hoverboards coming. Okay.
Yeah.
Back to the Future 2 promised us hoverboards, folks.
Yeah.
Okay. And there was no hoverboards. Okay. So you began to understand that something is wrong. Something is stalled. Okay. Yeah. We're trapped in some kind of like, we're in a, some kind of prison, some kind of time bubble.
Yeah.
Where,
yeah.
It's awful. It's a terrible, horrible thing.
It's like a technological purgatory. If that makes any sense.
Right, it's some kind of quarantine.
Where we've been given like a little candy. Here, Peter, play with this. Your phone. Remember the Family Guy episode where like Peter comes into the volcano insurance salesman with his accountant, and then Peter just said something, and then his accountant's like, "Here, Peter, play with this." And it's like a yo-yo. Here, Peter, play with this. Well, you know, while I try to talk to this guy.
Yeah, let the adults talk.
So he doesn't like rip you off more.
So yeah,
that's pretty much what they gave us.
Okay, what they did was they used technology, right, to not to help mankind become smarter, become better, you know, somehow with more skills, with more access to knowledge, right? They used it the way that Democrats or communists use laws.
Yeah.
And new government offices
as weapons.
They overcomplicated the language, okay, to essentially intimidate the average person away from understanding it. Technology itself has the potential to help explain itself to people. No attempt was made to do that, only to further complicate it.
Yeah, the only people who understand it deeply are like IT guys, people who are interested in this kind of stuff, in the code, in like, you know, the wiring behind it. And if you're not, you're just like a schmuck.
And those are the same people, by the way, that you just described, are the same people that wouldn't mind too much if the World Economic Forum succeeded.
And they're the same people that hacked into machines a couple of years ago. With IPs. And by the way, Mr. Lindell still has them. At least he claims he has them. Nobody believes him. Okay. We'll see about that. Anyway, go on.
Okay. So that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing well. Okay. You can, let's say you can,
Can I say one thing before you go on? The only thing I think that was a marked quote-unquote improvement was the fact that any person today, like you and I right now, we have our own radio station / television station.
Do we?
I'm saying with the most basic stuff, you know, you can just start from zero and become, you know, if you really figure out, I don't mean the literal algorithm, I'm talking about the figurative one and the literal actually also. If you somehow manage to figure out, you know, most people who are not like us, who don't get like shadow banned and you know, these strikes, they you know, they figure out a way how to become.
You can argue that. I can argue the opposite. You know why?
Okay.
Because
it's all fluff. It's all crap. The stuff that comes out.
Well, I'm just talking about us. Let's say, okay, let's use us as an example.
Mm-hmm.
We can, you know, start a channel, right? Yeah. And we can get a couple, you know, some equipment and begin broadcasting. Yeah. But the message itself, like the actual product that we produce,
mm-hmm,
right, has much less possibility of making it to who we want to make it.
Yeah.
because the control over, yeah, over information has gotten, yeah, so much more sophisticated.
It's centralized and sophisticated. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, they can come up, they probably have algorithms that could literally sabotage anything,
yeah,
that has our name or anything that recognizes our voice. Yeah. No one. And they,
yeah,
and furthermore, it could make us think that it is getting out to people.
For sure.
People are actually listening.
Like to, fake, know? Like fake views, but no, in, yeah, reality, fake nobody's views watching.
Or bots, you know, yeah, like, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, bots, like they're responding to, yeah, your, you know, to your, yeah, video. Oh, great. Yeah. We loved it. You know?
Yeah.
Like for instance, Alexander, maybe you're a bot.
I'm, yeah, maybe Alexander's a bot.
I know you're not a bot.
Thank you, gentlemen, so much. Yeah. It's like the same.
No,
our friend Lowell writes the same one word on every video. Fascinating. And he's not a bot. He's just a person who likes to write.
But a bot can easily mimic that.
Yeah, of course.
Right. So in the past, even though we it may have been more difficult to actually get the equipment and to begin broadcasting, let's say on radio, right?
Yeah.
But we had, somehow there was less control. Like we could have found, it would have been an easier way to find a pathway into that realm, because there was less centralized control. You know, you could actually talk to people. You know, you'll talk to this guy, you'll talk to some old guy smoking a cigar, you know, like one of those old school, like radio station owners or something like that, you know? And he'd be like, all right, kid, I'll give you a chance. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That guy with the cigar doesn't exist anymore, folks.
Yeah.
Okay. Now it's a little faggot with a, you know, yeah, with a latte, you know, who already assessed you from head to toe. Okay.
Yeah.
By the way you use your pronouns.
Yeah.
You know what Frank Zappa said?
No.
He was saying that when he and all of these amazing acts that we love from the 60s all the way to the 80s, right? All of those acts, those pop, the rock, all that stuff that came out from that time, it was amazing because the guys who were responsible for producing these acts, right? Yeah. And showcasing them, whether, you know, in some venue or a station or a radio station, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They were all these business suit guys with cigars, you know, these old school guys, you know, like the, mm-hmm, like Mad Men.
Yeah.
Those guys, you know, yeah, with the gel in their hair, with, yeah, the, you know, with the whiskey, everything.
Yep.
Those guys had more of an instinct for creativity and who to give a chance to,
yeah,
than the supposed liberals, the hippies, the ones, yeah, who are supposed to be open-minded.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Look what they've produced. Look at the shit that we have now.
Garbage. It's garbage. It's abject garbage. They think it's good. You so know, when you look at Rotten Tomatoes, and on the Rotten Tomatoes, it'll say, you know, the those types of people liked whatever movie or show, and then people like us hated it. It's literally the opposite for most of these programs. You know, the critics love it and we hate it.
Dude, you know, we
vice versa.
Absolutely, man.